Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining me this week. My motivational quote today is by Galileo, and he says, "I have loved the stars too fondly to be afraid of the night." Have you or someone you know have been affected by cancer? I think, sadly, the answer is probably yes. In a report from 2012, the World Health Organization revealed that over 14 million people are diagnosed with cancer every year. And the scary thing is that number just keeps increasing each year. When we hear that dreaded word cancer, one can only fear fear and overwhelm. The pathway to curing this disease has so many variations and can be overwhelming to figure out how to navigate it. And choosing the solution or protocol that's going to work for your situation or your unique situation, I think, is important too. Well, today my guest is Barry Eaton, who shares his story about beating cancer and the road he traveled to survive and thrive. Barry is a well-known radio and TV presenter, author, and journalist, spending most of his career at the ABC and various commercial stations in Sydney, Australia. He is also an astrologer, medium, and psychic intuitive, who guests share their metaphysical knowledge through Barry's interactive internet radio program, Radio Out There. Barry, who studied mediumship at the Arthur Findlay College in the UK, is a well-known writer who has scripted and narrated many documentary films, corporate presentations, and written numerous feature stories for magazines and newspapers on his expertise in travel, entertainment, astrology, and spirituality. He is also the author of several books, including his most recent book, The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife. So please help me welcome my extremely special guest today, Barry Eaton. So Barry, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, look, extremely. Oh, wow. That's incredible.
I know, right?
Thank you, Connie. Look, yeah, I've never been introduced like that before. Extremely.
You're very kind. And I just want everyone to listen to your amazing voice, because you have done through your career radio, TV, you've done radio, voiceovers, and you really have a very dreamlike voice, I must say.
Thank you very much, Connie.
I know your wife must love listening to you every day.
Well, we won't go that far.
You're adorable. All right, so let's jump in, and I want to talk about, why did you decide to write The Joy of Living, which really is a total departure from the previous books that you've written on the afterlife?
Well, Connie, having gone through the whole cancer routine and come out the other end, I just figured that I learned so much about myself and about what is really helpful in going through this that I wanted to share it. I didn't write the book to make money or anything like that. I wrote it because I believe that we're sort of set adrift when you find out you've got cancer. It's there, you know, you've got cancer. Oh, my God, what am I going to do now? The fear kicks in to start off with. And there's a lot of help. You get a lot of help from all over the place. But you're still doing that journey alone a lot of the time. Mm. Even though my partner, Anne, helped me tremendously and co-wrote this book with me, by the way.
Yes.
But there is so much that I learned about not only myself, but going through and combining holistic as well as mainstream medicine. I learned so much. And one of the first things I learned was that you have to take some kind of responsibility from the get-go.
And I would think that the information, you said there's tremendous resources available to you. And I would think that as the information, these doctors are giving you so much information all at once and using terminology that must have been foreign initially to you. So going through that has to be, in addition to hearing the word you have cancer. Can you talk a little bit about that and how, what did your brain just deep fry itself?
Well, you go into a bit of a brain freeze to start off with. And then, as you say, you get hammered from all sides with this information, that information, this expectation and that expectation. Anne suggested from the word go that I record all of these things on an audio diary. And being a radio person, I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. So that helped a lot with the book as well. But once you get over that, and I did fortunately get over that initial bout of fear, and everybody's going to go through this, but I rationalized that I've got a wonderful acronym for FEAR, F-E-A-R, which is false evidence appearing real. And if you go back over a lot of the fears that you've had in recent years, most of them have turned out to be, well, conquerable at least, at the very least. Most of them sort of disappear as well. So once you can get over that fear and then start to accept some responsibility and start to say, well, what can I do? Rather than saying, hey, doctor, come here, cure me, fix me, heal me. It's you. It's up to you. It's not up to me. You know, do something. Once you can get over that mentality and think, well, what can I do? What am I? What's my part? I co-created this because, you know, somehow my body created it, and I'm the vehicle. The body's the vehicle of my soul. So I'm in there somehow, creating all of this for some reason. What's the reason? Why? What can I do about it? That's how I started to cope with it all from the beginning.
And did you feel after that initial overwhelm and fear, and I have heard that acronym, false evidence appearing real, before, and I think it's a great acronym. My first question to respond to that is, initially, though, did you believe? Did you deep down believe, or were you saying, yeah, I know that acronym is real, but, you know, was there that but there for you?
Well, yeah, I was sitting on my butt at the time I realized that, I think. But I had to come to terms with fear in my own way. And everybody's got to do this at the same time. It does make you sort of reel back and think, well, why did I deserve this?
Right.
What have I got to do about this? You go through this period, and this is when you do need a lot of help from friends, family, and all sorts of people who can come in there. And also the doctors, of course. I'm not knocking mainstream medicine in any way, because doctors are usually there to help. But they do tend to become a little bit clinical because they see it day in, day out. So you've got to get through that aspect of it as well.
Right, because it's their job, just like our job every day we do. Sometimes you do it without thought because it's the same old, same old. I would think also, Barry, that as you wrapped your head around this, as you started to do your research, as you started to question what's my next step and how can I take control, once you did that, did you feel like you were back in control, and did that make you feel a little better?
Yeah, it did. I'm the sort of person that needs to, I'm not a control freak, but I need to be in charge of what I'm doing. I mean, having worked in this business for a long time, if I'm not in charge of my own show and all the things around it, and in the other aspects of my life as well, then I'm really adrift out there in an ocean of uncertainty, and I really couldn't do that. So I had to get the reins back again in my hands. Let's put it that way. So I did that as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's healthy, and I think that makes you, I think it puts you on the road to healing quicker, because you are taking that responsibility, like you said, but you're also taking control of what path you're going to take. And I like in the book how you over and over again repeat that this is my story, this is my journey, these are the methodologies and resources that you used, but everybody's journey is unique, and there's so much out there that you really have to kind of figure out what's right for you. So yep. Now your background being a medium and all of those alternate modalities that you use every day in your life, how did you come to grips with the medical aspect of, you know, doing the surgery and then ultimately the radiology? What was the name of the machine? It was a
tomo.
Tomo. And that was the direct radiation that they hit the affected area. How did you get your head wrapped around that for someone who was really from a holistic standpoint your whole life?
Well, I know you're into one word things there, Connie. So meditation is the one word that I throw at everybody here. As soon as you can start to get your head into a lovely, peaceful place, then you can start to deal with this whole situation. Meditation is just so important in any aspect of life, and it doesn't matter whether you're working as a clairvoyant, or whether you're working as a banker, or whether you're working as a politician. It doesn't really matter. To be able to have that very peaceful headspace, call it quiet time, call it meditation, call it whatever you like, but to go inside yourself and start to ask for questions. Ask questions from your own subconscious, your own intuition. If you believe in spirit guides, as I work with them all the time, yes, connect with them. If you don't, well, go to prayer, go to whatever it is, but go into that meditative space and start to ask for answers. And when you do this, the answers will come in many ways, some of them unexpected. If you're very intuitive and you are happy to work with your intuition, that will happen the way it does. Otherwise, it can happen through chance meetings, so-called chance meetings. It can happen on a book that falls into your hands, like The Joy of Living, or many other things. But taking that responsibility and going inside yourself. I had a lot of decisions to make, Connie, because I'm not a person who is very keen on pharmaceutical medicines unless it is absolutely necessary in the direst circumstances. I far prefer to go down the natural, holistic side. And I had to come up with this first decision. And my family all thought, oh, well, that's it. You know, he's going to be off living in a cave in a mountain somewhere, you know, eating raw vegetables. And we'll probably just come up there and find him one day and we'll bring him down and bury him, you know. But to their great surprise, I informed them what my guides had worked out with me, that they said to me in multiple meditations, and I do consult with my spiritual advisors all the time, and they said, look, yeah, we want you to combine holistic practices and mainstream. And I thought, oh, really, do you? Why? And they said, well, because we want you to write a book about it afterwards. Okay, oh, fair enough. Well, why would I write a book about it? And why this combination? I said, well, most people do not accept straight holistic practices, but if you can point out the fact that how it worked for you with a combination of holistic and mainstream medicine, you're going to get a lot more attention and a lot more acceptance of the path. And that is exactly the reason that I made that choice, holistic plus mainstream medicine. That was my first major choice. And they told me that once you make this choice and you accept it, we will help you. We will bring all sorts of things, people, events, everything into your life. And they did, one by one. As soon as I accepted that I was responsible, I was going to go in there, combine holistic and mainstream, then doors started to open that I had really not even contemplated before that.
And it's interesting because you really did take the power back, because I think, I mean, I can't imagine, but when you hear that word cancer, I can only imagine how your world just crumbles around you and you feel lack of control. And I think by going into that meditative state, listening to your guides and all of your subconscious and all of those things, I think it empowered you to move forward confidently. And it was funny in the book, Anne, your partner Anne, and your son Matt were both like, really? You're gonna do both? They were and how they both eloquently wrote about their surprise and then how confident you were in that decision, that I think it helped them get their head around what you were doing. And I think it helped them feel back in control again of this, what is usually deemed an out of control situation. So I do think.
Well, it boiled down to one word again here, Connie, and that's trust.
Yeah.
I trusted what I was told from the other side, and I trusted in the process, and I trusted in the universe, and that trust paid off.
And I think, Barry, have you noticed, and I don't know if in Australia, but in the United States, a lot of these medical places that specialize in cancer treatment operations, you know, surgeries and at such, they also provide more holistic means, and they have massage therapy, light therapy, sound therapy, meditation, yoga. All of these other practices are now becoming part of the building where the medical stuff is being offered. Is that the same in Australia as here in the U.S.?
No, not that I've found so far. That is very, very encouraging. I'm delighted to hear that. I wish we were doing the same thing here.
It's remarkable. And I have a sister who's dealing with breast cancer. And locally in New Jersey, where she's going, they offer all of these homeopathic and holistic resources, diet. She can meet with, and it's all free, by the way. Reconstructive surgery, therapy to help you make the right decision as far as what reconstruction and all that stuff. It's amazing what they're doing here in the United States, that they're embracing these alternative modalities right within the medical profession. Isn't that cool?
That's fantastic. That's really, really fantastic. I hope the message starts to get out here. Look, maybe it is in certain parts, but I don't live in Sydney. I don't live in a major city anymore, although I was being treated in Brisbane, which is probably about our third or fourth largest city in Australia. But I never found any of that there. I had to go looking for it myself. And once I opened myself up, yes, all of these practitioners sort of tumbled into my lap at one stage or other, apart from my own contacts that I'd had anyway. But that's really great.
And think about it, because you're overwhelmed with the whole cancer protocol, terminology, verbiage, all of this stuff. And to have it all in one place, I think, allows you to figure out what's going to work for you. And I hope that they start offering that across the world, because I just think it makes it easier for you. You have to remember, Barry, you were very well versed with all of these alternative modalities and folks and around the world that you've met through your lifetime. You know, the average person who isn't an intuitive or a medium or any of these things, how do they even know where to begin? So that these hospitals and such are offering that, I think, is really a good resource that across the world they should be doing it.
I think that people on the other side want to get a lot of information out to us. That's why I've written my two books on the afterlife, and I'm working on my third at the moment. But it's because they want us to expand our knowledge, expand our spirituality, and just look beyond the obvious and beyond the basic tenets of science, and look at the spiritual and the holistic side of things as well. And I think that this information is getting out. Now, what you're talking about that's happening in the United States is wonderful. I'm playing a very small part in writing a book, and I'm sure many other people are doing similar things. It's once we can get some groundswell from all of this, yes, then we can start to look forward to big change in this area and attack this vile outbreak of cancer that seems to be getting worse and worse every year.
Yeah. And again, it's just the air is bad, the ozone's dying, the water, you know, there's too much bad mojo out there, so to speak, right? The interesting thing you said, that we have this perspective of science, and I often laugh because all of these modalities, these healing modalities, meditation, you know, natural herbs and sound therapy and all of this has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And yet we have decided that science is always the right course. And I think over time we've narrowed our focus and our perspective, that we lost the perspective of these other modalities, and now they're coming back into influence, or people are like, oh, yoga, oh, meditation. All of a sudden these words are becoming mainstream.
That's true.
Yeah. Let's take a really quick break, Barry. And then when we come back, again, for people who aren't sure of the different things that are available to them, I'm curious to see how you chose your methods and what therapists you chose to use, etc. Again, I think that might be helpful to the listeners.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change. Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com. It's winter in Paris. Years since Nicole and Pierre have seen each other, fate has brought them together again. Childhood friends and lovers reunited, but something is wrong. From poet, philosopher, and author Antonio Elio Borme comes My Dear Clochard, a beautifully written story of eternal love. Born into a wealthy family, Pierre is now homeless, living under a bridge in Paris. How is this possible? In her quest to find answers, Nicole unravels the shocking mystery. Read My Dear Clochard, available soon at litfirepublishing.com.
We are back. We are speaking with Barry Eaton, and we're really speaking about battling cancer, but more importantly, his new book, The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife. And it's written in the perspective, first Barry writes his journey, then his wife Anne writes her journey and her perspective as a caregiver, which was very important also, Barry, and then Matt, at your son at the end, his perspective. So I really did like how you brought the three thought processes into place, because earlier you said it was your journey, but you had a lot of support on that journey.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole thing. Once you go into something like this, whether it's cancer or any other insidious sort of health situation, you become terribly self-focused, and that's, I guess, natural. So the care that you're given from your loved ones, your family particularly, and friends and healers and all sorts of people, this caregiving is just so important. And as the caretaker, I wanted Anne to write her side of the story. She went through something totally... I was so busy going through my own side of things, I wasn't conscious of a lot of the things that she was undergoing at the same time. And I think that caregivers are not given enough attention and enough respect in all areas of healing. And I hope... by doing this book, that Anne is able to say a few words for caregivers and get their side of the story out there as well.
And it's funny because I think the caregivers could use all of the meditation, yoga, energy healing, the mat. You use the crystal mat, I believe, or right, the crystal mat where you laid on it and the crystals were above you on the each of the chakras of the body, right?
That's the John of God crystal bed, yeah.
Yes. So, but I think Anne would have benefited from that, because think of the stress that she was feeling and the exhaustion she was feeling, especially seeing you with the burned neck and, you know, seeing someone you love so deeply in so much pain. It's got to be heart-wrenching. So I can't even imagine the emotional exhaustion that Anne went through. And she writes very eloquently in the book. And I agree. Kudos to you that you asked her to do that. And she wrote it so beautifully from the perspective of the caregiver that I think it's important that caregivers read that portion of the book in addition to your journey, because they matter. You know, they have to stay healthy for the folks going through the actual
exactly.
Cancer treatment.
This book is written as much for the caregivers, the caretakers, whatever you want to call them, and it's written as much in their perspective as the person that's going through it, because it's teamwork.
It is.
That's what it is. It's, everybody has to work together.
Yeah, in addition to your team of doctors, you know, together. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the alternative practitioners. You used hypnotherapy, energy healing, again, that crystal mat. How did you choose that, and what guidance, if any, can you give to folks who they're listening and saying, I have no idea what they're talking about. Where do I begin? Right? Because you were very educated in this whole topic.
Well, I went to Brazil in 2008 to visit the healer there, John of God. Now, John of God's had a huge amount of publicity, especially in the States. They did a 60 Minutes program and many other films and documentaries and whatever. So John of God is a medium who brings through doctors from spirit. There are 33 different doctors operating at any one time and helping people have operations. I've had a couple of spiritual operations which were tremendous for me. When I came back to Australia, I was then working at a local, we call it a branch, but it was a local casa that we set up here to help people to be able to heal through this this procedure. So part of it is a crystal bed. As you said before, all of these crystals light up and they connect with each of your seven major chakras, and they help balance the body, balance the energy. And this is where my spirit team kicked in to start off with, because in the local area in our castle we had here, the crystal bed was set up so that people could come in and use it. But they had power problems. So they said to me, all of a sudden, coincidentally, whoa, they had power problems. So they said, oh, well, why don't you take the crystal bed for a while? So I took the crystal bed for the whole period leading up to and through my treatments, and it was a tremendous help. Now, not everybody is going to be able to be that fortunate. So Spirit was really, really helping me tremendously. But as I said before, there are practitioners all over the place. Just for starters, go in and Google johnofgod.com. Then look at crystal beds, and you'll find out a wealth of information. Then you can dial up practitioners and whatever, and you'll find them. As I said before, a friend of mine does this to help people, and it makes a big, big difference. So I did the crystal beds. That was the first thing that was sent my way, coincidentally. I love this.
Yes, coincidentally.
Coincidentally. Now, when I found out that when I was having radiotherapy, I was going to have this huge mask put all over me and sort of bolted down over the face, head and shoulders so that I couldn't move while I was having the radiotherapy. I elected radiotherapy. I said I wasn't going to have chemotherapy. My intuition said, no chemotherapy for you. So I respected that, and the doctors did as well. A couple of them reluctantly, but when I thought, wow, this mask, I am going to without doubt have some kind of claustrophobic reaction to this. So I was also having breathing problems at the time. So I went to a friend of mine who's appeared on my radio show and Radio Out There, and she's a wonderful hypnotherapist. And I went and had a couple of sessions with her where she took me right down, and first of all, which was the most amazing thing in this preparation to deal with claustrophobia, she found out that my subconscious believed that I deserved this cancer and I deserved to die. And I was absolutely freaked out when I heard that afterwards. But she said, look, this happens a lot. And once you go through something like hypnotherapy, what we program into our subconscious is quite often frightening. And apparently a lot of people do program this in. So you've got to wonder whether or not the simple fact of having some hypnotherapy, and there are plenty of wonderful hypnotherapists around, to be able to help you get through this subconscious belief that somehow I'm guilty of something or other. I'm not sure what I felt I was guilty of. Maybe I stood on an ant's nest or something, but I wasn't that bad that I was guilty of some major crime or anything,
right.
But I deserved to die. So we got rid of that. We then dealt through hypnotherapy with my fears of claustrophobia, and they were the two major things. Now, other people sort of stepped out of the shadows, and I know that my spirit friends sent them along to me. Healers would just suddenly arrive and contact me and say, look, I heard you're having this. I'll send you some distant healing. Another local healer was giving me energy healing throughout the treatments. All of these things, this is just some of them. Then my daughter, who's a psychologist, was talking to me about when I'm having these treatments, well, go into visualization. Visualize yourself. Get out of it. Escape. Don't worry about it. I thought, yeah, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Go into full body relaxation when you're having it. Fortunately, you mentioned TOMO before. TOMO is a form of radiotherapy, and it's a very direct form, whereas instead of having the radiotherapy beams blasting a part of your body, this is done with very fine computer settings, and they can target a very, very fine area. For me, it was in the throat. And I, of course, didn't want to lose my voice because that's me, I guess, in many ways, my voice. Well, certainly my work and everything like that. So the oncologist was able to target my throat tumor in a very, very fine-tuned way. So all of these things fell into place. And I do believe that none of this is coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in serendipity. I believe in synchronicity. But I don't believe in coincidence. And once I put myself out there and I did that trust I was talking about before, all of these things fell into place. So I was able to then combine by taking matters into my own hands and saying, what can I do about this, rather than saying, doctor, doctor, heal me, heal me.
And it's interesting. I think once you surrender, and I try to use that word often in my life so that you stay in the flow of life in general, and we fight everything in our life, Barry, and I feel like we fight uphill, you know, 80% of the time. And throughout the book, the way you surrendered, and every time you went and meditated, or every time you meditated and asked a question, and you just stopped and allowed the information to flow to you, that's how these things presented themselves. And I agree with you. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in synchronicities. And I think that you being open-minded, just being open-minded and allowing that flow of information, energy, and people and resources to find you, was all your energy going out there. And I think it seeked it and found it in remarkable ways. You know, going through this entire experience, again, I can only imagine, but how did it change your life? Is there some clear things that you feel you've learned through this whole journey?
Oh, very many clear things, Connie. I believe that everything happens for a reason in our life. A lot of it we create, co-create, attract, accept, whatever. But my life totally changed. I learned so much about myself all the way through this. I learned how the love of family and friends is just so important. I got a lot closer to my own family. And having worked in radio, television, the media, theater, many things that I've done in the course of my life, you tend to become a bit of a workaholic and very much focused in this area. So I'm quite happy to admit that I was not as close to my family as I could have been. Mm-hmm. All of that changed. It made me realize that the love of a family and the love of a partner and everything like that is just, well, that's life. Work is there, yeah, sure, we need it, and it's a fantastic outlet and everything like that. And rather than just sort of turning up every day and making enough money to be able to exist, yeah, sure, have something, that a vocation, something you really love. But it's only part of life. I was treating it more than just a part of life. So I learned about that. And I just learned that also, once I can trust in myself, trust in my information, and my spiritual guidance that I was being given, and once I opened up to that and I was able to trust, then, yeah, I'd seen it before, but it really just totally exacerbated everything that I had learned about myself and about spirit up until that stage. There are many, many things about it, but I've learned so much about me, and I realize now that I didn't deserve to die.
Well,
that's why I'm still here.
Yeah, and that you actually believe that, where your subconscious at some point didn't. The other interesting thing I found about the book is that Anne went through a transformation as well.
And oh, yes.
Yes, not only with your the two of your connection, right, your intimacy and all those things, but her own perspective shifted with patience and, again, finding when to stay quiet, when to push you. She learned a lot about herself. So that was kind of an interesting. Was she surprised now in retrospect with after going through this journey with you? Does she clearly say, oh my God, these are the things that I learned on this journey as well?
Well, we've discussed this over the course of time. I mean, she hasn't sort of sat there and had some kind of epiphany, but she's definitely changed a lot. Our relationship has changed. It's got a lot closer, and we really know exactly what we want to do together now, whereas we weren't doing a lot together at that, because we live in different cities because of family reasons, and it's changed the whole dimension of our relationship and brought us a heck of a lot closer. But she learned a lot more about herself. And as I said before, everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens that we really haven't created or co-created. And I believe that, and I've written about this in my books, Afterlife and No Goodbyes, that when we come into each lifetime, we come in with a series of destiny points that we've agreed to, mm-hmm, as part of our life contract. Mm-hmm. And when we reach these destiny points, it's like a plot point in a movie. You reach this plot point and a couple of doors are open to you. Which way do I go? Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I turn around and run? Whatever I do is my decision. And at these destiny points, it's up to us as to what is going to happen at the next stage in our life. If I had have turned around and made the decision, for instance, that, no, I'm not going to have any medical treatment. I'm just going to go off and have complete holistic treatment. Well, look, Steve Jobs did that. And with all his money, his background, his facilities and everything, he lived a lot longer than he probably would have, as I mentioned in my book.
Yes,
he lived quite a few years longer than if he had of not done anything at all or whatever, or even the average stats for a survivor of cancer. But even so, it was his decision and it was my decision to do exactly what I did. And that is what it all boils down to, the personal decision. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just hoping that by going through my experiences, I can inspire people to take responsibility for themselves.
And I think that's really important because, like you said, these different vantage points through our life or milestones in our life, everything in our life you have to take control of. And it's funny because I often hear people say, oh, well, that happened because of him, or that happened because of this situation. And I often look at them and think, well, where are you in the course of whatever the situation that unfolded? What responsibility did you have? Because we're all responsible, right? So it's just interesting how humans, we like to deflect and blame others. And I think your book is a nice guide to take control, look inside, and the answers will come to you if you surrender to and believe and trust in that intuition, and that things will come to you as they should. Again, everybody's situation's unique, but the amount of information that you shared in this book, Barry, was just amazing. And I think it'll give people an opportunity to seek out, like you said, you gave the website of johnofgod.com that they could go look at, the crystal bed, hypnotherapy, meditation. There's so much on meditation that people could find the right meditation for them, visualization. I hope people use this as a guide to say, well, let me look at that and peel back that onion a little bit deeper to see what's going to work for me on my journey, you know, if they're battling cancer or some other disease. So thank you for that abundance of information within the book.
That's my pleasure. And that's the reason that we decided to write the book. And I'm sure from my inspiration from the other side that is why they wanted me to write this book and go through this experience so that we can help others to help themselves.
Yeah. And isn't that, that's what it's all about. We have to help ourselves. I think we're also in a society, Barry, where we want that quick fix. We want that pill. Instead of, like you said, really seeking out the best alternative and putting the work in. And you put a lot of work in to heal yourself along with your medical doctor. So it's a horrible story, and yet it's wonderful that you shared it and was vulnerable enough to write the story, as well as Ann and Matt sharing their perspective too.
Oh, great. Thanks very much. I just sort of close off with a quote of my own here, if we can, Connie.
I love that.
When I look at what we're talking about here, about everything wanting to be done right on the spot, in the film Terms of Engagement many years ago, Shirley MacLaine had this wonderful line: "The trouble with instant gratification is that it takes so long." I love it.
It's true. Another great movie. So a couple of things, everybody. If you'd like to buy the book, which I highly recommend, if you, family member, friend, is going through any type of serious situation, the book is, and you share with great humor as well, Barry, which I commend you on, because I think laughter is a great medicine, and you've mentioned that several times in the book as well. And not that we're making light of the situation, but the humor that you found throughout the journey was really heartwarming as well to read. So I recommend the book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, many other platforms. Again, the name is The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife. So I think it'll help anyone that's in a situation that you're not sure what to do. The other thing, if you'd like even more information or to get in touch with Barry, go to his radio radio show, which is radiooutthere.com. I will post it on the Enlightenment of Change website so you guys all have a direct, I'll backlink it for you or hyperlink it for you. But you can reach out to Barry, listen to his show. And again, I think, Barry, that's a nice resource for folks who aren't as familiar with these alternative methodologies, to listen to your show, that they might learn a thing or two. So that's kind of cool, too.
Oh, it certainly is, Connie. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Truly my pleasure. And everybody, if you need information from me or you need help with your corporation, business, front, or coaching, et cetera, reach out to me directly at Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com. And I do answer my emails personally, so I will respond to you. I can't thank you enough, Barry, for just being an amazing guest and for sharing your insight as well as inspiration for anyone who's going through such a serious situation. So thank you again for taking the time.
That's my pleasure.
And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so that we all embrace change and learn new perspectives and realize that it might be more or easier than we often think. Thanks again for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone. Please have an inspired week and maybe help someone out by buying the book and sharing it with them or with yourself as a caregiver, and be inspired. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanAssoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.